And joining us on the Trocare College live line, Bankrate senior economic analyst Mark Hamrick, as we look at the results of Election Day and how they play into the economic forecast. So, Mark, thanks for being with us. We saw the reaction the markets had yesterday. How does it differ from the usual post-election bump that we see?
Yeah, good to be with you, Susan and Brian. Markets typically, financial markets, we're speaking really here about the stock market, typically rally after a presidential election. We had a strong rally coming into the election. And, you know, once again, conventional wisdom being worthless, it was widely expected that it might be many days before we had resolution of the election. And so I think part of what we saw yesterday and may see more of today is a relief rally that there is not a lot of uncertainty associated with the election, that the results were known essentially by this time for the White House yesterday. It appears as if the House may go to the GOP for control, but that is not officially resolved. And of course, the Senate is known. So I think investors are embracing the removal of the uncertainty quotient. And I think that the initial reaction is one where some investors are leaning into the idea that a Trump presidency could add to economic growth, but also many companies would benefit from lessened regulation. Not all would, but a good number would. And so that's sort of where you are with that. The other part of it is, which is less advertised, so to speak, is we also have seen a sharp run-up in bond market yields. That's the market's way of setting interest rates. And that's problematic because it sort of returns us to a 7% 30-year fixed-rate mortgage where we had been moving down to closer to 6.25% earlier. And so the housing affordability issue is taking a hit here.
You know, in the immediate future here, even before he goes back into office, on the heels of this relief rally, is the Fed meeting today to possibly, and it looks like likely, cut interest rates again. What's likely to happen there, especially with investors?
Yeah, I'll be headed to the Fed in a few hours for that. And it's widely expected that we'll have a rate cut of 0.25%. Not only at this meeting, the announcement today, by the way, the meeting sort of delayed by a day by the presidential election. Typically, we'd have this announcement on a Wednesday. And then we have another meeting and announcement due in December. And for both, it's expected that we'll have 0.25% each time, as opposed to the rate cut of 0.5% that we had in September. I think that you have to remember that anything that a president might intend to do or would do doesn't occur before January 20th. And so the central bank is looking at where the economy is right now, where the data is, and will continue to operate with what they know rather than what they would speculate about or anticipate.
You know, so much when we talk the economy, especially post-election, a lot's been made on tariffs and what impact that could have if we will see the tariffs. I'm wondering what else of the policies that we might see under President Trump in a second term would have a big impact on people?
Well, let's go down the list, first of all, with respect to the problems that Americans identified through the Bankrate survey with respect to the economy. Number one was inflation. Number two, health care costs. Number three, affordable housing. I think both candidates were somewhat disingenuous about telling the American people what they wanted to hear in the sense of saying they would fix inflation. The dirty little secret is there's not a lever in the Oval Office to flip to turn inflation off. And so the central bank, an independent central bank, is the main entity to do that. In terms of policy initiatives, I think the main thing that we'd be looking at along with the tariffs would be the continuation of the so-called Trump tax cut, whatever that looks like. That'll be dependent on Republicans having control of the House of Representatives, I think, and their implications for the debt and deficit with that. Broadly speaking, Trump proposals are seen as adding up to $10 trillion to the federal debt and deficit, or the deficit itself, I should say. And it's been estimated that under a best case scenario, if the administration were able to recapture some of the revenues from tariffs, that would reduce that down to, let's say, $7 trillion. So in that environment, you're talking about a risk of further inflation, ironically, but that also is dependent on doing all of those things.
For older Americans, Mark, do you see any changes with Social Security or retirement savings?
Not immediately. This has been the long festering issue that both parties essentially have allowed to fester. And we know that there's a looming Social Security funding shortfall within a decade that by law would require a reduction in the payouts. And so I've been talking about this for quite some time, that it's really incumbent upon elected officials to reach agreement on this, to give Americans the benefits that they have been promised and that they have paid into to fund. And it's only been through inaction on the part of elected officials that this problem persists. So that's a space to watch. Both candidates have said that Social Security funding is secure, even though they've not provided a prescription for doing that, much the same as they made promises about inflation.
You know, promises are promises. They're not actions. But given the way that things are looking right now with Republican control of the Senate and perhaps the House, too, might that make more of a difference here over the next couple of years, at least?
Well, with respect to Social Security, the question is, what does the solution look like, right? And so obviously, if you're lacking substantial opposition in the Congress, then you have a path forward with respect to passing the legislation that you want to pass. Ultimately, the question is, what is the legislation? What do those solutions look like? How effective would they be?
All right, Mark, always appreciate talking to you. Thank you.